Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the beloved Friday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Good, bad, crazy martinis for you, as usual. And, Jim, we've seen this now for at least the second time in recent months, and that is Bob Woodward saying what we might not normally expect someone like Bob Woodward to say. First of all, we heard him explain very clearly a couple of months ago that sequestration absolutely was the administration's idea and not the idea of Republicans in Congress, although they did ultimately approve it as part of the debt ceiling deal back in 2011. Now Bob Woodward, probably not making most of the folks at Morning Joe very happy this morning, by explaining why there are parallels between Benghazi and Watergate.
You were talking earlier about kind of dismissing the Benghazi issue as one that's just political, and the president recently said it's a sideshow. But if you read through all these emails, you see that everyone in the government is saying, oh, let's not tell the public that terrorists were involved, people connected to al-Qaeda. Mm-hmm. Let's not tell the public that there were warnings. And I hate to show that this is one of the documents with the editing that one of the people in the State Department said, oh, let's not let these things out. And I have to go back 40 years to Watergate when Nixon put out his edited transcripts of the conversations, and he personally went through them and said, oh, let's not tell this, let's not show this. I would not dismiss Benghazi. It's a very serious issue.
For those who may have not heard the rest of that clip, Bob Woodward talking about that talking point should not be what the administration wants people to know. Talking points should be everything that they know. They should be truth statements. So even on MSNBC, the truth is getting out there.
That is true, Greg. And what that shows you is that Bob Woodward actually bothered to read the 100 pages of emails. And I kind of wonder how many people who are professing an opinion on these emails and telling others what to think about these emails bothered to read all of them. Because, you know, as I noted yesterday, you look through them all, there are a bunch of big questions here. And one of the big, you know, obvious points was that, yes, it begins 2 days later with this opening comment about it may have begun, you know, we believe it began as a demonstration. But if nothing else, there's a whole bunch of other information about in there about the terror groups that they suspect being involved and the fact that there were previous attacks on outsider or Western interests, and we cannot rule out that individuals had previously surveyed the U.S. facilities. I mean, these are not saying, you know, YouTube video protests got out of hand. This is very clearly, you know, saying, look, terrorists were looking at us. And all that stuff comes out, and that seems pretty relevant and pretty important. And so what happens is you have these initial talking points where the beginning statement is incorrect, but at least there's a lot of supporting, you know, correct factual statements that follow. And the process takes out all the correct factual statements. And I've heard some people arguing that this says that, well, Susan Rice really was a patsy and all that stuff, and really she's gotten a raw deal. Okay, you know, it's not like she made this up out of whole cloth, but she still went out and gave information that was just flat out not true to the American people 5 days after a terror attack. And this is not what our administration and our government officials should be kind of spinning us and trying to help protect somebody's political reputation. So I'm glad that Woodward gets this. I think what's intriguing, you know, maybe what happens is the administration released the 100 emails with some talking points of their own, so to speak. And, you know, well, here's what you should think. This lets us off the hook. And you wonder how many folks in the press just took that spin without actually looking through these emails and saying, hey, wait a minute. The entire process is whittling out what happened and basically deciding the American public doesn't need to know why our facility was attacked, how it happened, and what, you know, was a result of this. And it certainly looks like it was an effort to protect the State Department for its failure to provide more security at that facility.
And Jim, but I think this statement by Woodward is significant because the Democrats, and as you point out, they most of them probably haven't read the talking points, but the snap analysis from the more liberal media outlets was, well, this backs up what Jay Carney and others have been saying. Well, no, it doesn't. And to have somebody of Woodward's credibility out there saying that, especially on a liberal outlet like MSNBC, definitely disrupts the narrative they want out there. And that's definitely good news as well.
Yeah, and what's also worth marveling, and you know, I'll just keep beating the drum on this until somebody else seems to recognize it. Right in there, on page 61 of these 100 pages of emails, the, you know, FYI, FBI says AQ, meaning al-Qaeda, not AQIM, meaning al-Qaeda is the Islamic Maghreb, basically the Algerian North African franchise of this, was involved and they are pursuing that theory. So by Friday, the FBI is looking at Al-Qaeda. Why are they still talking about a YouTube protest in the days afterwards and really for weeks afterwards when Obama's on Letterman and all that other stuff? I mean, basically nothing about the only thing that the 2 days of emails that have been released to us have shown us is that, no, David Axelrod was not in there with a red pencil crossing stuff out. That's about all we can clear out. Basically, you know, still looks a lot like State Department. It still looks like the entire process is getting into, you know, less and less accurate and more meaningless, as even David Petraeus was observing during this process. So good for Woodward, and I hope he can, you know, manage to change the spin that seems to be flowing through Washington that the Benghazi issue is now resolved.
Yeah, not at all, and it's getting worse and worse for Hillary, especially if there can be enough pressure to force some more of these emails out. On to Martini number two now, and as you well know, and most of our listeners probably well know, Jim, there now have been two resignations at the IRS, that is, following the scandal involving undue scrutiny of conservative organizations seeking tax-exempt status. One is the acting IRS commissioner, which the president announced earlier in the week, and the other, of course, is the current director of the tax-exempt office, which took office. He took office a week ago, so clearly he had a lot to do with this. In the meantime, the person who was actually in charge of the tax-exempt status at the time that most of this happened, Sarah Hall Ingram, she's not going anywhere. In fact, Jim, she's in charge now of the Obamacare branch office of the IRS. So clearly, even the response to this obviously political scandal is entirely political.
You know, it really feels like, you know, sometimes in movies, they'll have some scene with a blimp or a balloon or something, and they decide it's too heavy, and they're just throwing stuff off the blimp in order to keep it floating. The Obama administration is going to have the minimum amount of heads to roll as necessary. But if one will work, okay, that didn't work. All right, let's try two heads. You know, they're going to keep going until they do it. And I think what a lot of people are pointing out accurately is, look, this really isn't an issue of bad management. What's intriguing about how bad this is, you know, is one is just how egregious, how glaring, how obvious this was. And there really weren't any whistleblowers, it would seem. That even when this got up to the highest level folks are asked directly about this by Congress, and they don't tell Congress about this. And so the real problem here is the culture of the Internal Revenue Service, and the idea that you can fire one or two persons is not going to make a difference. And then secondly, to have somebody who's in charge of this aspect of the IRS stepping into a management role over Obamacare is just head spinning. So she's going to have to go. But here's the thing. Most of these people are going towards basically early retirement. I don't want these people collecting pensions if you illegally leak people's tax information. Okay, that's against the law. This is not bad policy. This is not, you know, oh, we didn't read the memo and it just said we're not supposed to do this. No. When you sign these things, you know, look, these are legal documents when you turn over your tax documents. This is not, you know, supposed to be distributed willy-nilly by the press office. And so I really want to see people facing criminal charges over this. And then the second thing is the idea that this is, you know, at this point, we really have a crisis in this country because the IRS has proven itself top to bottom utterly incapable of fairly administering or managing any aspect of the tax code. Don't show me that there's some good people in the IRS, because as far as I can tell, there aren't any. And it's not a matter that every one of them is a, you know, terrible person, but anybody involved with this did not come forward as far as we can tell. Unless somebody went to the Inspector General and that's what got this rolling. But the whole point is that this scandal went on for a good 2-3 years and only comes out after the election. That's flat out unacceptable to the point where, you know, you would not be surprised to see a mass tax protest growing out of this, Greg. I think the fair tax or the flat tax looks very different in light of this, because whatever the flaws of the current existing tax code, we can't trust the IRS to administer this fairly. You know, the cop, the person who's in charge of enforcing the laws, has just proven himself to be corrupt to the bone. And so as a result of that, we have to scrap this system. We can't keep going by this. We can't have one or two sacrificial lambs and say everything is just fine. And this opens the door to a lot of much bigger changes coming to Washington, the way government operates, than anybody had previously thought, because government has proven itself so thoroughly untrustworthy of the powers that it has been given.
Jim, as I look at the facts, I think you're right on, but I'm here to also tell you as we enter the crazy martini that those fears are completely unfounded, because Stephen Miller, while his head is rolling, is also testifying. He's technically still the acting director. They clarified that at the hearing today, but he wanted to assure Chairman Dave Camp as well as everyone else on the panel that politics were not involved here. It's just people trying to do their job better.
I do not believe that partisanship motivated the people who engaged in the practices described in the Treasury Inspector General's report. I've reviewed the Treasury Inspector General's report, and I believe its conclusions are consistent with that. I think that what happened here was that foolish mistakes were made by people trying to be more efficient in their workload selection. The listing described in the report, while intolerable, was a mistake and not an act of partisanship.
So you see, Jim, endless paperwork and 3 years of headaches for these groups makes things move more efficiently.
There's a line from My Cousin Vinny in which Joe Pesci says, everything that guy just said is, and you can fill in the blank there, which I think applies very well. I also believe he added, Mr. Chairman, the yellow liquid you saw coming out of me descending to your pant leg was merely rainwater. That's who this guy is, that basically he will lie about the most bald-faced, because he basically would have us believe that it's entirely coincidental that all the groups targeted by this, you know, top to bottom, were conservative, Tea Party, and Republican types, Jewish organizations, pro-life groups, and the fact that we can't find any progressive groups who are treated the same way, and the fact that you could submit under the same group, could submit the same application under a different non-conservative-sounding name and get approved. This is why the IRS is so completely out of control, is that even when caught, they will look at members of Congress in the eye and just lie to their faces. Kind of striking to see how you can say something like that and not be held in contempt of Congress. I also understand that, kind of like, you know, echoing the fake but accurate excuse of the CBS Memogate story, was, I believe at one point he said something in the vein of, my previous testimony was incorrect, but it was not dishonest. If you were falsely informed, that's one thing. But, you know, this guy knew all about what was going on there. He'd already been briefed and stuff like that. So it's just a frustrating set of circumstances. I hope that Congress comes down on these guys like a ton of bricks. This hearing is really eye-opening because the IRS is pretty much convinced that this was all a series of innocent mistakes and misunderstandings, that nobody within there really did anything maliciously. And I just – that's simply not plausible. That's giving them a benefit of the doubt that they have absolutely no right to claim right now.
Jim, yeah, you're absolutely right. There's no way this is just coincidental or incidental or accidental or anything else that ends with those letters. So we'll find out.
It's not even dental. Although it felt like a root canal.
So we'll find out how high this goes. Congressman Tom Price is convinced it goes to the White House, and we'll see if the Ways and Means Committee continues to pursue it after today. I'm sure they will. We will pursue the 3-martini lunch on Monday. Have a great weekend.
See you Monday, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us on Monday for the next 3-martini lunch.